From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan, and this is our summer music preview. It's a chance for us to tell you about the music we're most excited about, music that hasn't been released yet, in some cases won't be released for a month or two.
We don't really like the sun. It makes us want to hide and run. Yeah, it makes us want to run and hide. But we'll be coming out tonight. We burning in Chicago.
I'm with All Songs Considered producer Robin Hilton here in Washington, D.C. On the line, we have Monitor Mix blogger Carrie Brownstein, NPR Music editor and curator of Song of the Day, Stephen Thompson. And once all the lines were connected, we yakked for a while, and I'll spare you much of that. But let's join our conversation, already in progress. Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Boylan here with Stephen Thompson. Stephen's in some place that doesn't have much electricity. Where are you, Stephen?
Oh, my God. I'm in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Sorry, Green Bay. Nice people in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Are you sitting in a cheese-filled hot tub?
Cheese-filled hot tub. Bob actually thinks that there are cows mooing in the studio with me. And they keep them in the lobby, Bob.
And Carrie, you're in Portland doing what?
What do you mean? I moved back here. I'm in Portland. I'm playing some music, and I'm working on...
Calluses?
I'm in a fitness boot camp right now, you guys. I wish this was video, just so I could flex and we could do a comparison of biceps right now.
Oh, I thought we were talking about fingers and guitars. You're in a boot camp for actual the rest of your body?
It's just a finger boot camp, Bob.
That's what I was thinking.
I was thinking you were
getting back to guitar playing and you were just working on your fingers.
No, you got to work on your calluses for guitar playing.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
But you have blogging calluses. Your fingertips on the keyboards. And
she's on vacation. Do you want to explain that to people?
Sure. I just want to say that I miss Monitor Mix.
And we miss
I've missed writing. I've missed reading everyone's comments. But unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, depending on whether you're you or me, I've been doing some other projects. But I think about Monitor Mix all the time, and I hope to return to it at some point soon.
What you're saying is that you're a pretty big deal.
Oh, my God. Cut, edit.
Can we get to some music?
Okay. Well, the song is called Born Free. It's been floating around for a little while. It's from one of, I guess you could say, one of the most anticipated albums of the summer, an album called Maya, though it's actually in the form of some sort of pattern of characters. Anyway, the artist is MIA, and the song that I picked is Born Free.
Stephen, have you heard more than this? It's really powerful.
Yeah, I've spent a little bit of time sort of, I just before I left on my vacation, got a chance to stream the album online and was just starting to get a taste for the textures and just the overall power of it. Part of what I love about where she is in her career right now, she's increasingly popular and yet also sort of seems increasingly uncompromising at the same time. And so it's really interesting to hear an artist like that where you really don't know what she's going to do next. And I just love the general sort of aggression and power of what she's doing. You know, that song's been floating around for a while, but the rest of the record is moving in a whole bunch of different directions at once.
That's Born Free. MIA record comes out July 13th. Carrie Brownstein, what do you have?
I also like the MIA record. I'll play something that's I picked for you guys because I want you to know that
you missed us.
I miss you, and this is something that sounds, I think, like something I normally would not pick, but I thought, what would Bob, Robin, and Steven like? They would like Sunny and the Sunsets, a band from San Francisco who are putting out their, I believe, their debut album on Fat Possum. The title of the album is Tomorrow Is All Right. This song is called Too Young to Burn, and it is dedicated to my cohorts.
2, 3, 4.
You guys ever go to camp this summer?
Yeah.
Because it just looks, sounds like a song I imagine all of us going to the same camp and sitting around a fire that probably took us a lot longer to start than it probably should have, and singing this song.
Bob's trying to light it with his iPhone.
Yeah, I've got that app.
See, I was picturing us sitting on a dock somewhere with our pant legs rolled up and kind of kicking our feet gently in the water.
You don't like water.
That's true. Yeah. I also don't like
camp
or hanging out with you guys. So, but still, that's the image that came to mind. You know us well, Carrie. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I adore
so who
that.
Are these folks?
So Sunny in the Sunsets, it's a guy named Sunny Smith, and it's a four-piece from San Francisco. Sunny himself is also a visual artist, and I think they're just a band that had been doing really well locally, and then of course a couple blogs and sites picked up on their music, and they self-released an LP, but it wasn't until Fat Possum picked them up and signed them that, you know, the rest of the world is going to get to hear them. But I really like that song, and I like what else I've heard on the album. And you know, I'm not always prone to music like that, but in the summer, I feel like I have a generosity that I put forth. And
summer,
and
summer makes you a better person, is what
it does. Summer and sun make me a better person, and I want to be driving around in my car listening to that song, and I want to, you know, sit out on a dock with everyone.
And we're in the car with you, right?
Yes, everyone's in the car. Robin's strapped to the top, and we're listening to that song.
That's appropriate.
Comes out August 31st. Sunny in the Sunsets. Tomorrow is all right.
Why are they putting out that record at the end of summer?
I know, it should be a summer song. It should be out right now.
That's such a sweet.
Well,
little
we just made
song.
It so.
Yes, we made it a so. Summer song.
We forced their hand.
Yeah.
So have you, anybody heard Junip, record by Junip?
I have heard Junip.
I've heard a few songs from it.
So Junip is Jose Gonzalez. And at first I thought, why would someone who's built up a name over a couple of records now go ahead and bury his name inside of a band? And as it turns out, that Junip is the band that he was with in the late 90s with friends in Sweden. And this is a record that he's been wanting to make well, since before he started his solo career, which wound up selling, I think he sold a million records of that first solo record, Veneer. And this is, it's got a grittier edge than his nice, soft, smooth delivery. The album's called Fields. So let's play a cut called Rope and Summit. That whole sort of distorted undertone that is really nice against his voice. I love Jose Gonzalez's voice. Anybody else a fan?
It works really well with a full band like that. I wasn't sure what to expect. It took a while for that song to take off, but once it took off.
Oh, the opening track of the album itself does not take any time at all to take off, and it's really pretty great.
Yeah.
So we look forward to that. The record by Junip. It comes out on the 14th of September, so we're a little ways away. I think there's an EP out with that song on it that can be had now. I'm here with Robin Hilton, who hasn't had a choice yet, and Carrie Brownstein, who's in Portland, and Stephen Thompson, who's in Wisconsin. So let's skip Robin, and we'll go on to Stephen.
That's great. Appropriate.
What do you got, Robin?
This one actually is by a guy I never would have expected to put out a solo record that I would really, really love. It's Phil Selway. He's the drummer
nice
of Radiohead.
Because he's so terrible.
And I know he's wonderful in Radiohead, but I mean, how many drummers say they're coming out with a solo record and you think, oh, awesome, I cannot
Levon
wait to
Helm.
Hear.
The Wilco drummer.
Yeah, Wilco drummer. All right, I take everything back. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the Wilco drummer because he's actually on this new record by Phil Selway. The album's called Familial, and it'll be out at the end of August on Nonesuch. And Phil Selway, he's got a gorgeous voice. I never knew that he could really sing so beautifully and that he had such wonderful songs in him, but he does.
He's probably a nice guy, too. Who would have known?
I'm sure we could be very good friends.
You always go there.
If you would just give me a chance to show him how good I can be.
How many restraining orders do you have against you?
The phone just lit up.
Okay, no, honestly, you know, I usually don't think much when I hear the drummer of a band is gonna put out an album. But this, what I've heard so far from this Phil Selway record is wonderful. The song from Familial is called By Some Miracle.
One, two. I mean, were you whispering in my ear?
Was that creepy?
It's a little weird.
One, two, three, four. As I cave into temptation, I've strayed across a line. In the cold store, put it to the back of your mind. Put it to the back of your mind. But by some miracle, I just got away with it. I've clawed it back again. By some miracle, I just got away with it, I've clawed it back, I'm crawling back again.
So Phil's singing, yeah. Another drummer, Phil, singing. Yeah. But beyond, which is beautiful. He's got a nice voice.
He
like
really
you
does
say.
Have a great voice.
What else is going on there? I mean,
The harmonies there. That's Lisa Germano, who is I don't know if you're familiar with her work. She's a beautiful singer. She's one of my favorite solo artists. If you should check out Lullaby for Liquid Pig, this album she put out a number of years ago. That's amazing. Sebastian Steinberg, a bassist, playing on that. He's with Soul Coughing, and then Glenn Cacci.
So the string thing might be the bass player bowing his this double
bass. Yeah, possibly. And I know that Phil Selway's playing guitar on that.
Cool.
And singing lead.
Love that. And I think you put that on the blog recently, too, so that's another place to go.
Yep, you can download a free copy of that.
Well, actually, that was a former intern, right, to phone that in.
That was actually a former intern.
They never
Phil
quit.
Phil Selway, former intern at NPR.
Hey, Phil, we're really proud of you, buddy. Yeah. Keep up the good
work. Yeah, I like your band.
But please, stop calling.
Yeah, Will Butler, thank you for that. So, Stephen Thompson, you have an interesting collaboration for us.
I picked this in large part to antagonize Carrie Brownstein because I knew that it was too sweet for her. It is a duo called Jenny and Johnny, and it is Jenny Lewis and Jonathan Rice. And
Johnny Rice.
They're a couple, aren't they?
They are a couple.
They're very attractive
couple.
They are. And I've always really loved Jenny Lewis's music, and I have never really liked Jonathan Rice's music. And so I wasn't really sure what to expect when they sort of got together and made. And I felt like the title of the album is a little bit of a shot across the bow. The album is called I'm Having Fun Now, which if you're a fan of Jenny Lewis's sort of ribcage bursting angst, definitely signals another step in a new direction for her, making kind of a little bit sunnier and happier music. But at the same time, it's summertime. Once again, it's a summertime record that comes out August 31st, right as summer is ending. But I just found this particular song really lush and sweet and charming. This is Jenny and Johnny with Scissor Runner.
You know, the more times I hear this record, the more I like it. This is it's not as good as the best Jenny Lewis, but it's really pretty good. And then it's certainly better than anything I've heard of Jonathan Rice.
Wow, we're just...
I don't even need to say anything.
He's a really nice guy. And you know, what can you say? You know,
some of my best friends are Jonathan Rice.
If you don't connect with his music, what are we going to say? It sounds good, huh?
Robin, did you just say some of my best friends are Jonathan Rice?
Yes. Not that there's anything wrong with being Jonathan Rice. I actually like this better than a lot of the Jenny Lewis stuff that I've heard in the past. I really like that a lot.
I think it's really charming. It's just a summer pop record, and I found it really appealing.
All right. This next album that I've chose is by a band called Best Coast, which consists mostly of Bethany Cosentino, although she does have a drummer that she plays with. And they've been releasing these singles, and it's just kind of building up a lot of anticipation for their first LP, which is yet to come out. It's called Crazy for You. And they just put out a new single. It's called Boyfriends. And it's great. I can't say that I'm going to play it for the next 10 years, but I'm going to play it this summer, and that's what this show's about.
Can we just have a discussion for a minute about the 50s sound that's in so many records? I mean, the Jenny and Johnny, just by name, right, is that, right? It's the She and Him record. We could just go through and list over and over again. You know, a lot of the girl groups coming out sound like that. I listened to one on the way here that Mark Ronson produced. It was just 50s all over it. Any clues?
Maybe it's just the way that waves of nostalgia are working.
Yeah, it's thinking 20-year cycles. Bands,
but where's the nostalgia for anybody making this record? I mean, there's...
Well, I think they're nostalgic for something that was nostalgic for something that was the 50s.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're hearing the third generation of this sound.
I'm not suggesting that it's like degraded copies, but they're, you know, sort of like the Happy Days was out in the 70s, you know, but it was almost nostalgic for something that was already nostalgic.
Sure. So what is the charm, do you think, in that sound, in that nostalgia?
Could it be a reaction to all the lo-fi bedroom recordings that we've been getting for the past 10 years that are so mopey and inwardly looking, and now we're starting to get this sort of bright, poppy, sunshine sound with group harmonies?
Well, there's also just a ton of these bands that have that kind of beachy, garagey...
Yeah, I think this music has always existed. I mean, to me, Best Coast, sadly, isn't doing anything new. I mean, since the time of garage bands, there's always been a throwback to that era, whether it was the Pandoras or all of the Billy Childish stuff or the Muffs or the Makers, you know, and those bands toiled in a largely underground kind of garage rock movement. They were always borrowing from, you know, 50s doo-wop and 60s. It's just now, for some reason, and maybe it is because of home recordings or people just want something a little bit pleasant and simpler, everyone's really excited about it again.
I'm just wondering if the people making this music are... have their tongue somewhat in their cheek, if there's just glee in making it. I guess it's questions to
ask. I think it's fun music to play. Sometimes, you know, people try to suss out musicians' motivation for playing the kind of music that they play, like in terms of where it fits into fashion. But the fact of the matter is, garage rock is fun music to perform if you're a performer.
I like that.
No,
smart. Being in Green Bay has made me so much. It's just made me a better person.
Made you so much smart. I can't even do it.
You can't do the accent if you haven't lived here for as many years as I lived here. That's how we play football in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wow, who is that?
Oh God.
So speaking of of nostalgia, have you all heard the Full Chen record yet?
I did hear a little bit of this record.
So Full Chen did a record, their first record that came out a couple of years ago, John Shade, Fortunes Made, and it was sort of this concept record that began when Sammy Bing, the leader of the band, came back home to his place in Long Island and realized that WLIR, the radio station there, had gone. LIR was a station that really just was an independent station, played lots and lots of new wave, even up through the beginning of the 2000s. And it was gone. And he had this dream where he imagined that, no, it hadn't actually disappeared. It was pulled underground by this character, Johnny Shade. And they basically made this record about that. Now, the new record's out. The new record's called Part 2, The New December. And you know what? I have to pull up something on my computer because I asked what it was. What's the concept here? Because I could tell there's something going on about there are a bunch of bureaucrats and so forth, but I didn't understand why it was Part 2. So I asked them, and they emailed the statement to us. So let me just pull it up real quick. I had printed it, but I didn't take it off the printer. So the band writes, we were a little uncomfortable with how we left the story last time. It was too heroic. It was like we were superheroes fighting an evil force, John Shade. So this time we wanted to show that the aftermath of our victory over John Shade, instead of entering a new paradise, we end up as bureaucrats lost in subcommittees trying to clean up the mess we made during the struggle. Winning doesn't always work out so great is the whole concept behind this record. It's a lot of fun. This is Full Chen. Did somebody laugh?
I was laughing at a band that seemed to be thinking just a little too hard.
Now, I want to step
but
this in here.
It's like a sci-fi. It's like a little sci-fi
Here's
story.
What I... People never take me seriously because they think I'm always cynical with everything I say, but I was listening to that and I was thinking, I love it when bands or artists can speak so openly and freely about their music and just say, hey, it's about this. This was our idea and this is what we wrote about. Instead of, oh, well, you know, we want each listener to get their own experience out of that so they can tell us what they think it is. You know, I love that they just very matter-of-factly
totally right.
told you that story. Yeah. I thought that's
You're
great.
You're totally right.
Cool.
I take it all back.
Here we go. The song we're going to play from Full Chen is In Ruins. So the concept is kind of heavy, science fiction-y, but the music sure isn't. The music's really, really fun. Full Chen, F-O-L, next word, C-H-E-N. I thought it would look like a hologram of sort every time I see that name, but I can't figure out what it would be.
Those are just the rainbow colors in your mind, Bob. Everything, those glasses you look through, everything looks like a pretty rainbow.
Oh, I like that a lot. That's really good. I'd actually heard that song before, and it wasn't until I heard the little shimmering quality. Oh, yeah, I like this.
It kicks off really well, too. I love it.
Yeah, it's a neat song.
I'm here with Stephen Thompson, who's in Grebane, Wisconsin, Carrie Brownstein, Portland, Oregon. Robin Hilton is the only one here with me on microphone.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
One by one. I'm going to be alone next time. Isn't that the way it's going?
Yeah, if we can figure out how to get an ISDN line out of my bedroom, and I don't even have to get up in the morning and just sort of reach over, grab the computer.
You would be the first NPR reporter that's happened to.
That's true.
You just lying in bed with growing out your fingernails.
Can I bring it down a little bit?
Sure, just for a little bit.
Please.
With the appropriately titled Lower Dens, this is my favorite band of the last 3 weeks or so. Lower Dens is a group out of Baltimore, and they have an album coming out called Twin Hand Movement. And the group is fronted by Jaina Hunter. She's released a couple solo albums in the last 5 years or so that were really sort of, well, they were very weird and very dark, but very folky. And this new record that she's doing with a full band reminds me a lot of the XX, which I've been trying to figure out why this album works for me and the XX album doesn't work for me as well. But maybe you can
listen to it, Bob, and
tell me what you think. This is Lower Dens. The song is called I Get Nervous.
Sounds a lot. I was saying it while I was playing to you that it sounded, reminded me a lot of a Paper Planes, MIA, Slowed Way Down.
It's the same chord structure. And you can
totally hear the beat too.
Yeah, the rhythms.
But maybe the XX thing might be the reason you like it more, is the XX leaves a lot more open space, and maybe you're just uncomfortable with that. We can talk about that if you'd like.
I do love the drone that just carries
through that entire song.
I love this record so much. I've been listening to it pretty much nonstop for the last 3 weeks.
The Lower Dens,
Lower
D-E-N-S.
Dens, yes, D-E-N-S. It's out July 20th.
Excellent, excellent. Where are we going next?
This has been a lot of analysis. We're really questioning each other for our taste. Why these...
Steven.
Just as people.
It's Steven's turn. Time for versus.
It's my turn.
Let's start to quiz Steven before he even starts.
Sure.
Why did you even pick this one, Steven?
Why did I? Well, actually, I have...
How many blue are there?
Well, I do think there's sort of an interesting overall sort of trend story behind this. Versus is this wonderful New York indie pop band that I really loved in the mid-90s. And I was realizing as I was looking over sort of the summer schedule, what was coming out, what people were excited about, there's a lot of mid-90s nostalgia. You know, we were talking before about 50s nostalgia. And I think, you know, there's a new Superchunk record coming out this summer. There's a new Versus record coming out this summer. We just announced on NPR's airwaves that Lauryn Hill is returning to the music world. There was a story on Morning Edition the other day that Lady Gaga's Alejandro is actually sort of riffing off of an Ace of Base song. And I just found it really intriguing that all of a sudden there's just all this 90s nostalgia. And so it's a perfect time for Versus to put out its first record in 10 years. It's called On the Ones and Threes, which is a reference to making fun of the way Europeans clap along with music. It comes out August 3rd. This is my favorite song from the record. It is called Gone to Earth.
That was really beautiful, Stephen. You really made me want to hear this.
I'm sorry, when I said I missed you guys, I was just kidding.
Thank you so much for that.
Okay. Sorry, we can listen to the real song now.
Oh my God, I can't believe that didn't happen to one of my songs. Yes! Yes!
Oh, I'm all I have. Here we go.
Very nice.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I wouldn't have, I don't know, Stephen, what do you think, a band that started 20 years ago coming back and with something like this?
I approve.
Yeah, I approve too. I really do.
What do you think of it, Stephen? Because you chose it and it seems really weird.
Yeah, that is very, very odd to me.
I didn't think it sounds like Richard Beaulieu yet at all. I don't know why I can't say Richard's name.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, what was that?
I didn't think it sounded like Richard's vocals. Personally, like compared to earlier Versus stuff, I like it, and I've always loved the dynamic between him and Fontaine, and I think he was a very original guitar player and pretty influential band.
I love the guitar on that song.
Yeah, but I would not have known that was Versus if I had just heard that song apropos of nothing.
Well, for one thing, it's been 10 years. You wouldn't know that they were out with a new record.
That's what I was getting at earlier, you know.
See, I can cut the part there. And I'll cut the
How much of the show will we be cutting out? I just want to let audience.
Should I be rolling on this?
I just want to let the audience know that we've cut out 3 hours just for
most,
you guys.
Most of it.
Congratulations on making it this far. Just a few more songs and you'll be done.
Most of what winds up on the cutting room floor should be me talking with a thick Wisconsin accent.
No, that should be the whole show and then just 10 songs.
What do you got? Carrie, pick us something.
Okay, well, a lot of people, Robin Hilton actually, mostly, was complaining that I had chosen a couple albums that I was looking forward to that weren't like Versus, where it was an older band that was making a record after 20 years, but these were albums that were reissues, which I think is a slightly unfair and invalid criticism, considering that a lot of the new music we're talking about, what we grapple with and what we have yet to come to an understanding about, is why does it sound so retro and why do we long for that, or why do we find it unsatisfying. So, hey.
She's thought what's a lot about this, Robin.
Yeah, so, hey, I don't have anything except to maybe mock her when it's all over with.
I'll wait. I'll let you know.
I'm just saying, hey, what's the problem with going back and rediscovering some of the artists that were actually making music that sounded like it was from the 60s in the 60s? Okay, well, I just wanted to say, if we're going to sit and listen to some retro music, let's go back. Hey, what would you guys prefer to hear? I've got a guy from the 80s that was making electronic music in his home in Jersey. I've got a post-punk girl group who's... album I'm still searching for to this very day, or I have a psych band from Belleville, Illinois.
Psych band.
Really?
Hmm.
Okay. Let me just preface. There is this band, Dolly Mixture, that formed in 1978. Debsy, Hester, and Rachel.
Never heard of them.
And they put out an album. It was a white album with a stamp on it that said, a purple stamp that said Demonstration Tapes. And I have been looking for this album since 1994. When I heard Demonstration Tapes, which a friend of mine in Olympia had, I thought, this is some of the best music I have ever heard. I don't know how they made it. It's very simple music, but it comes together so seamlessly. It's such amazing vocals. It doesn't sound like anything else that was coming out of that post-punk wheelhouse. It doesn't sound like Delta 5 or the Mekons or Gang of Four. And it's so fantastic. It's definitely a lost gem. And I think the fact that Dolly Mixture's Demonstration Tapes, as well as all their singles, the fact that they're coming out in a box set, I think everyone should go get this. That's how enthusiastic I am about this band. So this song is called Step Close Now. This Dolly Mixture reissue was out July 5th. So get it now.
Back to 27 years ago. With
hey,
Dolly
I think
Jonathan Richmond, maybe. You know, there's something Jonathan Richmond-y about a modern lovers-y about it.
I think so too. They loved the Shangri-Las. They loved the Undertones, but, and yeah. I actually hear some of the Undertones in there.
Yeah, I didn't hear the Shangri-Las in there though.
in their bass playing. I just think it's one of the best demos ever made, and it sounds like a demo. I hope that version that we just heard is not the remastered version. So when you go out and buy this CD, you will hear, hopefully, a higher fidelity version.
So what do you remember that you loved about it, and then hearing it all these years later, is it still there for you?
Obviously less so than it was when I was 22 and discovering sort of this huge umbrella of post-punk, and especially finding out that so many female musicians were involved in post-punk that had never really been popular or made it over to the U.S. And that was very inspiring. But there is still something about Dolly Mixture, their use of melody and the harmonies, and just that kind of ramshackle quality that the Raincoats had a little bit, but Dolly Mixture did not have the angularity. And I think it was one of the first things, as I was just consuming so much punk music, that just reminded me, oh yeah, I like prettiness.
There's something. Sure.
Carrie, do you know what happened to them at all? Why this didn't end up taking off or anything?
One of the members was in Saint Etienne. One was in Birdie. Oh. One of them went out with Captain Sensible from The Damned. I mean, I think that they just, you know, they met in college and they played music, and it's just one of those bands, you know, our friends' bands, or someone you knew, like, oh, I saw this great band when I was in college, or there was this great local band, and then they just all decided, hey, that's not what we're going to do, when someone discovers their album. I don't think that it was, although supposedly U2 opened up for them.
Okay. Fact check. Anybody who hears this who knows the truth here, go to the All Songs page, npr.org/allsongs.
That would be
in the comments page. We want to know. Love that. Another band that from the middle of this decade is a group called Be Good Tanyas. Anybody know Be Good Tanyas? I simply love this group. Actually, more late 90s and early this decade. They stopped making records, I think, in 2006. A few of the members of that band all had great voices. One of the very early members of the band was Jolie Holland, long before they really started cranking out music, was another gorgeous voice. Frazee Ford was the golden voice that really got to me. And you just wonder what happens to these people. They break up these fantastic bands. Well, she's got a solo album that's coming out the end of July, July 20th, called Obadiah. And it is just listen to her singing. She plays banjo, but it's all in the voice for me in the song. The song is called Firecracker. Wonderful, wonderful record. Frazee Ford. The record's called Obadiah, O-B-A-D-I-A-H. The record's the song called Firecracker.
What
comes
a
out
voice.
The 20th. Isn't it amazing?
I love
when's it. When's it coming out?
July 20th.
Yep. That's still summer.
That's one of our earliest
scientifically
provable.
Even in Wisconsin, is that true?
Oh, especially in Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, it is not miserable outside here. Unlike
it's cold
it
in Portland.
Guys.
It's beautiful in Washington.
Really?
It got really beautiful the second I left the city.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
That's weird.
I was going to text you that.
But why is it nice out here? It should be miserable.
It takes a while for the patterns to track you down.
How factually could this
Gold
seems like one of our most
red leader? We've got the bogey is on the move.
Don't you guys feel like this might be one of the most factually accurate NPR podcasts we've done?
Yeah. Robin Hill, do you want to take us out? This has been our summer preview show. Music coming out this summer. A lot of the stuff we know about, like the Robert Plant I really wanted to play, which is a tremendous new record from him that comes out, September-ish. It's terrific. We couldn't get permission for
Panda Bear. I really wanted to play some Panda Bear. That's out sometime in September. And then the Kanye West is also out on September 14th.
Other things people couldn't get, just so people have an idea of things coming out.
I was looking, there were a couple things in October that obviously were disqualified, like Sharon Van Etten, Robin and I both wanted to play. Anthony and the Johnsons, new record in October.
Yeah, that's one I wanted to play.
There's a Bjork record coming out, right?
Yeah.
Black Mountain.
So Robin Hill, what do you have and what are you going to take us out on?
Bob, I'm going to go take us out here with some Wackadoodle-Doo. From
Robin, just you saying that?
From the outhouse, it's Wackadoodle-Doo with Robin Hilton.
Little wackety schmackety doo from Of Montreal, one of my favorite bands ever.
But I don't put those two things together, the wackadoodle doo.
Oh, you don't at all? Oh, my gosh. You don't think it's just some of the most bonkers music?
Okay, yes. But wackadoodle doo, I think of 20s. You know, I think of the 20s.
Of Montreal is awesome. Kevin Barnes, totally. He just, what he does with his vocals on his records just completely blows me away. This one comes out towards the end of July. It's called False Priest, and I think I would like to predict that at the end of the year, when we open it up to voting again, that listeners will put this somewhere in the top 10.
Yeah, you can look at the Best of the Year So Far poll that NPR listeners picked, and that's online at the blog, NPR. Since you're not reading the monitor mix because Carrie's on vacation, you can go to the All Songs Considered blog, npr.org/allsongs.
I stand corrected by our intern, Lindsay. It's not the end of July. It's mid-September, actually. This is okay.
Wow,
I was looking at the wrong date. Anyway, this song is called Coquette, Coquette, and it's of Montreal.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Happy summer.
Thank you. Happy summer.
Anybody have good summer plans?
I'm going to go back to an amusement park as soon as I close the studio door.
Seriously? Celtic music camp for me.
Boot camp. Fitness. We're going to do NPR Olympics next.
We got to get Robin out.
I'm building some built-in bookshelves this weekend.
I'm going to eat fried cheese. I've been here 24 hours and I have not yet eaten fried cheese in the time that I've been here.
We're about to
rectify that situation.
All right. And the whole family's going to eat the fried cheese, right? Not just you.
We miss you, Carrie. Let's not go so long again without doing another show with you.
Yeah, miss you too.
Yeah, no, I miss you guys too. And let's thank the audience for their patience on this one. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
And the two engineers, both in Wisconsin and
in
Portland.
Thank you, Wisconsin Public Radio.
We are really, 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 really sorry.
I'm sorry too.
They shut us off. And don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook at the All Songs Considered fan page and also on Twitter at All Songs. I'm Bob Boylan along with Carrie Brownstein, Stephen Thompson, and Robin Hilton for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
Coquette, coquette, you know I won't forget how you kissed me strange to prove you were mythical. Oh my coquette, you used my voice as your earthly vehicle. Sold me out to prove you
were typical. Oh my coquette, you're Herculean. You are so miserable. Coquette, coquette, you know I won't forget how you made me cry to prove I was dutiful. Oh my coquette, my teenage lust for you is so beautiful.